know, I'm kind of a little choked up imagining that imagery that she offered us just now. The book is great, The Gentle Barn, and you will have, if you don't have profound appreciation right now for what this person has done, you will have even more so when you read where she came from and the challenges she faced. So I feel really honored right now to have been able to have that conversation, and I want to take in all of that because I so needed it. And how about you? Did you need that? I'd love to know what you thought about the conversation just now. Send me your comments anytime at info@realmeals.org. And remember that we cannot make change with the darkness that's all around us from the dark. We need to find the light. Find the light within us. It's there. It's burning. You need to feed it, breathe into it, imagine it, and share it. This concept of perspective, I can't say it, the concept of perception. I hadn't quite heard of perception in the context that Ellie mentioned it, but I want to expand on that now that she's put that into my mind. Perception is such a powerful thing. When I'm talking to people who are in a health crisis and sharing my healing experience with cancer, I often mention Dr. Bruce Lipton and his audio program, The Wisdom of the Cells. And a lot of the things that he talks about have to do with what our cells perceive. Our 50 to 100 trillion cells in our bodies, our cells perceive the environment that is presented to them, the environment they perceive, not necessarily the real environment. And what that means for a health perspective is that if we are giving our body messages that aren't healthy, images and comments all the time, our cells will respond to us and respond accordingly, making us ill. And if we encourage our cells to be strong, to be the best they are, to be cheerleaders for our own cells within our bodies, we can see powerful positive effects on our own personal health. And I know it worked with me. That's why meditation is so important on so many levels. It can make us healthier. It can make us conquer fear if we are afraid of a health crisis or even the world around us, which can be extremely scary. And this idea of perception, so I'm expanding it now. I focus on a lot that has to do with our bodily cells, but if we expand on how we perceive everything, if we take that imagery that Ellie gave us and focus on that, I want to think that our exterior environment can become what we perceive it to be. Some people might say this is really simple-minded thinking. I don't. I think it's powerful. And at the very, very minimum, it feels good. And that's what life is about. Living through each moment in time. You know, last week I talked about there is no time because our living moment is our, I'm getting a little tongue-tied here. Our life consists of moments. Right now, there's only right now. There isn't the past, there isn't the present. Oh, I'm really getting a little nutty here. There isn't any past. There isn't any future. There is only present. And focusing on that moment, finding ways to feel good in the moment is the way to enjoy life. And focusing on imagery of how we want the world to be rather than bringing ourselves down all the time, how the world currently is, I think will really help. Now, this needs to be coupled with action. And we all need to be doing things to help make the world a better place. And not just thinking about it, but doing. But sometimes visualizing first helps us with what needs to be done and what we personally can do. Okay. You know, part of that with my nonprofit, Responsible Eating and Living, and primarily what we focus on here on this program, I like to stick with the positive. I like to stick with joy. Occasionally we talk about some dark things, but I like to think that when we do, we wrap it around lots of light and positivity. I don't like to focus on the horrible things that we're doing on this planet. They are infinite. Let's focus on all the great things that we can do. And Ellie is a prime example of that. Now let's talk about some more good news. I made a whole list of things I want to talk about, and it's funny because I never get to everything. So, here's some good news. I want to put this together in the right order here. So we're talking about plant-based foods, and what's in a name? We've talked a number of times on this program about how I think the 21st century is going to be about taking products that are made in part from animal ingredients and making them with plant ingredients. This is a trend. There's investment behind it, and it's a wonderful thing. And we saw a lot of passion going on with mayonnaise last year, where Hampton Creek Foods was doing very well at getting their Just Mayo plant-based mayonnaise products on the shelves. There were other vegan mayonnaises out there, but Hampton Creek was making the big splash. And Unilever, the company that makes Hellmann's and Best Food Mayonnaise, got nervous. They slapped a lawsuit on Hampton Creek. And in the end, they realized what they were doing was ridiculous, trying to capitalize on the name mayonnaise, saying that mayonnaise is only mayonnaise if it has eggs in it. And they ended up making their own plant-based mayonnaise. If you can't beat them, join them. So we're seeing a lot of that with other products. There hasn't been a lot of buzz about milk until recently, but there are some folks that are trying to hold on to the word milk and have it only mean milk from a dairy cow. Did you read the letter that one senator from Vermont presented and is creating a campaign to get the FDA to look at not allowing manufacturers of plant-based milks to call them milk? And it's kind of ridiculous. And the argument behind it is that the consumer is going to be fooled. The consumer is going to be confused. And we're actually, I like to think, and I really believe that we all are a lot more informed than some of these people want to think. For the most part, I absolutely do not believe that people that are buying almond milk, soy milk, oat milk, hemp milk, coconut milk, even milk of magnesia, I think they know they're not getting cow's milk and they're buying it on purpose. And we should see this change, and hopefully for the better, although the new administration that's coming in may change everything for a while. That's why we need to be vigilant. But on the subject of plant-based products coming in and being accepted and being profitable, which is important in a capitalistic society, we have Miyoko's Vegan Butter. Have you tried it? Yoko's Kitchen makes a European-style cultured vegan butter. And I've tried it. And I have to say that it was surprisingly good, where it had this like a lingering flavor that reminded me of butter, cow's butter. Now, it did that without the sickening flavor that I remember about butter and milk. And it's a really good product, and it works really well. And Trader Joe's is now offering this palm oil-free vegan product at 226 stores nationwide. And this is something to celebrate. I personally don't eat a lot of butter. I eat it as a treat from time to time. But to get people to move along the food continuum, as I like to say, and move toward plant-based products, this is a beautiful thing. And I'm sure we'll have some Congress people saying, oh no, you can't call this butter because it's not made from cow. But we're changing that. And that's exciting. Can I tell you what else is exciting to me? Have I talked about Corn Thins before? If you read my blog, What Vegans Eat, at responsibilityandliving.com, occasionally I sing praises about Corn Thins. And we're here in California. We did our first shopping here when we got here, and we don't have a big space in this pool house we're staying in, limited refrigeration. We have to be careful about what we get. Same time, we have to make sure we have foods that we like and are good for us. And we wanted to have Corn Thins because, as I like to call them, they are a great vehicle for schmears. We like them with peanut butter. We like them with the almond butter that we make, and hummus and avocado, and it's quick and easy and sometimes very, very helpful. So we found them at Whole Foods. Thank you, Whole Foods. They're organic. I think they come from Australia, from a company called Real. And these are real corn things. So I have a little personal relationship, like I relate to them calling their food Real. But I went to grab them, and they have several different kinds. And my partner, Gary, was surprised when I said, no, we don't want the original. We want the Corn Thins with sesame seeds. The original Corn Thins have oil in them. And I really don't think that's a necessary thing to have oil in your Corn Thins. So we get the Corn Thins with sesame, has a tiny little bit of salt, and that's all they're made of, and they're really fabulous. So I was really grateful for that. But then it made me think about the importance of label reading, and there's a lot of things going on right now regarding label reading, and it's actually a little entertaining, I think. Just last week, you may have seen it, the FDA came out with the new nutrition labeling guidelines. And what's really fun to look at is their PDF Q&A on the nutrition and supplement facts labels related to the compliance date, added sugar, declaration of quantitative amounts of vitamins and minerals, guidance for the industry. You read this, I mean, it's amazing how complicated it is for food manufacturers to determine the nutritional value of their foods and what they have to report, what they can report, what they can't report, what they can kind of get away with. And what it says to me, frankly, is I want to eat whole foods that don't require these crazy labelings. There is so much description here about what can be called added sugar and not added sugar. It's a fascinating read. There are a number of things that are happening, and for one of them, for example, is amending the definition of a single serving container. And I'm going to be curious how that pans out, because you may know that manufacturers have used the serving size to to dupe us in some ways, because if they make the serving size small enough, then they don't have to report things like hydrogenated oils, a number of things. It makes the number of calories look very low, the amount of sodium, when the serving size is very small, but it's not a realistic serving size. So my understanding is the serving size will be a little more realistic, and it should be fun. Should be fun to read new nutrition labels. The thing is, they won't be coming out until 2018 and 2019. And that's, of course, if the new administration doesn't repeal the whole thing, right? Another FDA labeling thing that came out a month ago, December 2015, in New York, for chain restaurants, we require that every item on the menu of chain restaurants lists calories. And the FDA is going to try and make this happen around the country. And we'll see if it happens soon. And I have mixed feelings about it. For example, we like to eat at Le Pain Quotidien, the daily bread. It's a Brussels restaurant. It originated in Belgium, Brussels, I think. And we have many of them in New York City. And when I'm reading a menu of what I think are healthy items and I see the calories, I'm always like, whoa. Because I don't think about calories when I'm eating. Sometimes I think, well, maybe I want to buy more calories for my dollar than less calories. Because if I'm getting lentils and onions, and all these foods that are good for me, maybe I want to have a few more than a few less. But I think mostly this is a good thing for people to see in fast food chains with food that isn't particularly healthy, to see that how many calories are in their muffin or whatever else it is that they choose to eat, and they will be surprised which how much salt, sugar, and fat is in so many of these foods. My recommendation, of course, is eat a whole foods plant-based diet. Keep it simple. Keep it minimal. Find your kitchen. Make wonderful foods there where you know what's in everything. And you'll be so thankful for that. And your body will thank you too. And your cells will perceive only good things. And that's what I wish for you. Thanks for listening today to It's All About Food. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you can find me at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Love to hear from you at info@realmeals.org. And have a delicious week. We'll be right back.